And today we're starting a new series, and it's entitled Mind Over Matter. And today we're going to start talking about the spiritual mind. And it's all about thinking. How are we thinking? And probably as we enter this new season of lockdown, this is a really key series for the church, that we think about our thinking, because our thinking affects so much in our lives. I want you to put your two hands together like this. Okay, that is about the size of your brain. Okay, some of you are thinking it's that big, some of you are thinking it's that small. So that's the size of your brain, but the brain is an amazing thing, absolutely amazing. And here we go. Your brain weighs about 3 pounds. Okay, so if you're losing weight, please don't lose that 3 pounds. It's got 100,000 miles, get that, of blood vessels, okay? It's got 100 billion nerve cells, which are called neurons, and it makes 100 trillion connections, which are called synapses, so I'm told, okay? I am not an expert on this, so you need to trust the stuff I've kind of done some research about. It's 75% water, and it uses 20% of your blood and your oxygen, and it records over 800 memories a second, apparently, for about 75 years, obviously, if you live that long. So it's an amazing thing that God has created us with our brain, and our brain kind of checks out the environment we're in. It obviously controls our muscle movements. It controls the secretions of our glands. It controls our breathing, our internal temperature. And it does so much to keep us alive and to help us think. And the Bible says that we've been made in God's image. And so that's why we are able to think. That's why God has given us our minds. We are truly fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are different from any other creature. It says this, the quote I found says this, the primary difference is that humans are capable of abstract thought. We can construct tools, plan ahead, ponder questions of spirituality. Animals act out of instincts. The basic life of an animal is to get food, reproduce, and sleep. So we're different from every other animal. And our brains are truly amazing. So we, you know, scientists understand the kind of physiology of it, but they don't really truly understand all its workings. For example, I heard this story, a guy called David Omoto. He was someone who dived into a swimming pool, and there was obviously wasn't a lot of water in the swimming pool in the early 2000s. And what happened was he lost kind of, I think it was about 30% of his memory, but afterwards he could suddenly find himself with the ability to play the piano, amazingly. So if you want to learn how to play an instrument, one way to do it is to jump into a swimming pool. No, but because he had this concussion, something changed in his brain, and all of a sudden, he had this amazing ability. God has given us minds to think. Someone defined the mind as this. The mind is the manifestation of thought, perception, emotion, determination, memory, and imagination. All of it takes place within the brain. The mind is often used to refer especially to the thought processes of reason. The mind is the awareness of consciousness we know and the ability to control what we do and to know what we are doing and why. So it's the ability to know what we're doing, control what we do, and know why we're actually doing it. So we all have a mind. You see, our mind is connected to the rest of us. You think about the great athletes. Was it all about the physicality? No, it was about their ability to think and the determination they had in their mind to achieve. And so our mind is connected to the rest of us. Someone has said, we sow a thought and we reap an action. Sow an act and we reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. So our mind is connected to our bodies and really, when we think, we then start to feel and then we start to behave. I was looking at some CBT videos online, cognitive therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy videos, and it talked very much about the ABC of how we think and how that affects our feelings. And it gave this scenario. And it gave you a scenario that you're walking down the road, and maybe this has happened to you, and you see someone you know, okay? And you wave at them and say, hi, and they just don't see you, and they don't respond. Now, what happens in your brain is you have, you've done something, and then you start to think about, well, why didn't they respond? And perhaps you go through a number of things. Maybe, first of all, you start to think, well, actually, they're just ignoring me. And you get upset because you think, well, that is just rude. Or you think to yourself, well, why didn't they see me? And you start to worry whether, well, actually, do they even like me? And perhaps you think, well, maybe they didn't notice me. And you're maybe not too bothered. But you see, what is happening is you are, an action has happened. You then start to think about it, and then you start to feel, don't you? Okay, we have the next slide. I've just put some pictures up of different things. If you can see this online, the first one is of a rugby match. I don't know how many people watched the rugby yesterday. There was England playing Italy, and then there was Ireland, France a bit later on. And some of us, not all of us, we sit there and we're watching and stuff's going through our minds. And then something happens with inside us, doesn't it? You know, if you're an Englishman, you know, when England scored a try, you suddenly go, yes! But you see, your mind is then affecting your feelings, which is then affecting your behavior. Let's look at the second one. The second picture up there is a child sat with an empty plate. It looks like it's on a pile of rubble, maybe somewhere in the Middle East where there's been war. And what happens to your feelings? You see the picture, and for some of us, we feel, that is so sad. That child looks so alone. That child looks hungry. And then perhaps you start to act upon that. You think, well, what can I do to help this situation? Or maybe we look at Boris and Mr. Starmer, they're face to face. And if you're a political person, maybe you're one side or the other. And maybe, you know, Boris is not your favorite person at the moment. Maybe Keir Starmer's not your favorite person. But you see, we see things, we think things, and then the emotions kick in. And then lastly, I just put a nice picture of an Italian lake. Because some of us think to ourselves, wouldn't it be wonderful to go on holiday? To go somewhere else and experience something different. But as you can see, I put three words at the top. The first one is thinking, feeling, and then action. And maybe some of you, you may go and book next year's holiday now because you've seen a wonderful Italian lake. Probably not. But we are truly connected as people. So what we think about actually affects our feelings. And what our feelings do is they affect our actions. And I, you know, I've just been thinking so much about this message in relation to COVID. Because we think about things, don't we? We dwell upon things. And maybe we started to think about, oh, no, what's the next month going to look like? It is going to be terrible because I can't go out and I can't do this and I can't do that. And then we start to feel. And maybe those feelings aren't good. And we start to feel down, and then that affects how we act, how we are with other people. And what I want to do this morning is kind of try and bring some hope this morning. Because the way we think affects how we feel and the things that we do. So we need to start to think in a positive way. But what I want to do before that is actually say, what happens to your thinking when you become a Christian? Okay, the Bible is very clear that when we become to Christ, we are new creations, okay? And we all know that, you know, something changes within our heart, don't we? That's how we describe it, within our soul, something has changed. Perhaps we have new feelings, we have new desires. But when we become Christians, what does happen is we have a new way of thinking. And what I want to do is just quickly look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, because he talks about the difference that we see. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn it up, in Romans chapter 8, it says this. Let's just find it on here. And I'm going to read. It says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And what Paul is saying is actually there's a difference. There's a difference between the what he calls the sinful nature and the spirit, or the sinful mind and the spirit-filled mind. A difference in thinking. It says the sinful mind is set on what the human nature desires. The sinful mind is death. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. And so Paul is saying basically that before you're a Christian, this is what you were like in your thinking. But now you have been given the Holy Spirit, your thinking is different because you want to live in accordance with the Spirit and what the Spirit wants to do. And doesn't it create a kind of conflict within us, doesn't it? We probably all experience this. There are things that I really, really want to do, but actually I feel pulled in another direction. And we have this kind of battle that goes on in the mind. Next week, we're going to talk about the battle and how we can overcome and how we can win that battle. But there is a conflict that we face. Now, the question is, well, how can we overcome and kind of live for God? What is the way that we can do that? How can we win the battle? And I want to say to you, the way that we win the battle is by changing our thinking. Rather than thinking and focusing in the human way, we need to be focusing, thinking in a spiritual way, doing the things that the Spirit wants us to do. There's a great phrase, a great quote by Sitting Bull, who talks about the battle. This was the Red Indian, yeah, who had talked about the battle that goes on inside. And he says this, inside of me, there are two dogs. One is mean and evil, and the other is good. And they fight each other all the time. When asked which one wins, I answer the one I feed the most. Yeah. It's not a Christian quote, but very, very powerful. So how do we focus on spiritual thinking? Well, I just want to actually go back to the verses that Stuart read earlier. And it's found in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul gives these people, as he closes the letter to the Philippians, he gives them instructions. And these are great instructions in terms of when it comes to our thinking. And there are four words I want to use. They all begin with P, just to make life easy. The first one is praise. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. So my question to you this morning is rejoicing. Okay, what is rejoicing? Is it thinking? Is it feeling? Or is it action? Thank you. Got the answer from the front row here from a theologian. He says it's all three, which is correct, isn't it? But it starts in our thinking. So as we enter lockdown, you know, we have a choice, don't we? Are we filled with gloom and despair, or do we say, I'm going to rejoice? You see, the letter to the Philippians was written from prison. Paul is sat in prison writing a letter, and he starts by saying, well, you know, you've got to rejoice. And again, he says, I rejoice. Because when we rejoice, when we're thanking God, then our focus is not on what we don't have, it's on what we do have. So the first thing is about praise. The second thing is about prayer. He says, don't be anxious about anything. There's a good word there. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let's go back to praise then, present your requests to God. He says, don't be anxious. You just need to pray. And we can all pray because we can all think, can't we? And when we're thinking and directing those thoughts to God, we are praying. And I want to encourage you today to pick this up. I was reading my notes for this week, the UCB notes, and it talked about this woman who had the alphabet of prayer. And basically, she would go swimming in the morning, length after length after length after length, and she would go through the alphabet as she did different lengths. A, what's there to thank God for? What's there to praise God for? What's there to pray this morning? A, B, C, D. Prayer will change your circumstances, but it will change you. And I just want to encourage you through this time of lockdown, you know, let's get into prayer. Let's find God in those quiet places. Let's really seek him. The third thing is about purity. Okay, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, your mind is a place where stuff comes in. And so often in our world today, there is so much stuff that is so unhelpful in our thinking. There are so many screens that we can look at and things that we can focus on, and it does not help us. And what Paul is saying is actually just think about these things. Focus on what is true and what is lovely. Because what you put in is what will come out in your feelings and your behavior. The last one is, Paul says, put into practice. He's saying, well, if you follow me, if you watch me, if you do what I've written, if you teach what I've taught you, then your life will turn out well. And what he's saying is just need to obey. Need to obey the word of God. Four things all begin with P. Praise, prayer, purity, and practice. I want to say to you, these are the things that we need to put in place. I was listening to someone else who talked about pathways, how within the brain, when we become habitual in things, then there is a pathway created. We have a lovely new dog and we go dog walking. And something that's really interesting is you go to this, it's a big field not far from us, and you can see that actually on the grass on this big field, there is a pathway that has been worn as people have walked and walked and walked on the same path. And the grass is kind of high everywhere else, but there is this pathway that's been worn. And actually, that's what happens in our brains. If we keep repeating things, if we keep thinking in the same way, those pathways are formed. And I know people who say, well, I want to change. I don't want to think about this. But the trouble is the pathway's been worn. And what they're trying to do is stop doing something. But the answer truly is to start to do something different and to form a new pathway. And maybe there are things that we think about and things we do and watch that we need to stop. And we need to start doing other things. Because we need to wear new pathways. Pathways that are helpful, that will help our thinking and help us grow closer to God. I want to finish with some verses that are found in Romans chapter 12. It says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we need. We need minds that are renewed by God. But it comes when we start to give our lives fully over to God, when we present ourselves to Him. I read this story this week about a lady called Laura Schultz. She was 63 years old, just young, when her grandson was actually trapped under a Buick car. As grandmother, she actually went to the car and she lifted the car off her grandson. Okay? Just think about that. She lifted the car off her grandson. Well, news spread because actually Laura was not a weightlifter. Probably the heaviest thing she probably carried was a 25-pound bag of shopping. And so lots of questions were asked about her. How did you do it? And she says this to a guy called Charles Garfield. She said, she didn't really want to talk about it to start with. She responded by saying that she didn't like to think about what happened because it challenged what she thought about herself and what she was capable of doing. If I was able to do this when I didn't think I could, what does that say about the rest of my life? Have I wasted it? She was thinking, actually, you know what? I didn't really think about it. But then what have I done with my life? Charles Garfield said to her at 63, actually, you can do anything. What is your passion? Her passion was rocks and geology. And at 63 years old, she went to university. She got a degree in rocks and theology. And then she started to teach at the local college. You see, suddenly her thinking changed. And she thought, well, what can I actually achieve? And she was able to achieve it. What can we achieve for God? What can we achieve? I enjoyed the rugby yesterday afternoon. It was nice to see an England win. A few amens from over there. But what was interesting was a guy came on and he was described, his nickname was 110. And the commentator said, well, why'd you call him 110? And he says, because he always gives 110%. And I thought, that is a brilliant nickname to have. And I think to myself, you know, are we willing to give God 110%? And maybe today you are struggling with your thoughts and your mind. I just want to encourage you, firstly, that you start to think godly thoughts, that you put into practice what Philippians 4 says, but also that you give your life back to God. And allow Him to transform your mind, to change your thinking, to renew your mind, and then change how you feel and how you behave. Let's pray together, shall we? As we're about to pray, why don't you direct your thoughts to God? And maybe this morning it's time that you just ask God that he might renew your mind. Perhaps you've become unhappy with who you are and the way you think and the feelings that creates and the behaviors that that has led to. And Lord, this morning we want to thank you that you have created us, that we are wonderfully and we are fearfully made. We thank you for our bodies, but we thank you for our minds, the way that you have created us, the way we're able to think and process so much. And Father God, I want to pray this morning for each of us, that you would transform our thinking. Lord, that you would help us to think those godly thoughts. You'd help us to focus on you. But Father God, that we would not spend time thinking negative things or putting into our brains things that aren't so unhelpful. And Lord, this morning, Father, I want to pray that you firstly help us to become people of praise. Even in these difficult days, Father, may we rejoice in who we are and all that we have. Lord, I want to pray that you'd make us people of prayer, people who pray and seek your face, who lift their minds and thinking to you. Father, I also want to pray that you would help us to be pure. There would be a purity in what we see, that we would shun evil, but we would love what is true and lovely and holy. And lastly, Father, help us to put your word into practice, to do what it says, to live godly lives for you. Lord, this morning, I pray you would take our lives, that you would bless them, that you would renew our minds so we might think as Christ thought. And we pray this now in his name. Amen.